A reading from Micah chapter 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It shall come to pass in the latter days of the year 2014 that the students of Concordia Theological Seminary shall return to the campus in order to commence the winter quarter. And so it goes. Though the old quarter has passed away, and you wait perhaps anxiously for your grades to be posted, you nevertheless move on. It is, after all, a new beginning. Maybe with a better combination of classes this quarter, or at least a different set of classes. Time, nevertheless, to move on in these latter days of 2014. In the days of Micah the prophet, there was a desperate need to move on as well. The catalog of sins that he lists in the opening chapters of his prophecy says it all. The leaders of Israel and Judah had forgotten the Lord and his ways, as they led the people astray and took every advantage of them for their own gain. Listen to the indictment against those rulers. Is it not for you to know justice, says the Lord, you who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin from off my people and their flesh from off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and break their bones in pieces, and chop them up like meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron. These were desperate times for those who desired to remain faithful to the Lord, for those who longed to walk in his ways. For most, however, solace was found in the false hope that was continually dangled before them. Graven images, there's your answer, O Israel. Make a sacrifice to the gods of your enemies. That'll fix the problem. Afraid of the threats of calamity for your unfaithfulness? Have no fear. You're at peace with God. All is well. Despite the inconstant entreaties that God made through his prophets, the people continue to stray from him and even to oppose him at every turn. Later in his prophecy, Micah would utter this plea from the mouth of God. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. But they couldn't answer him, nor did they even want to try. All this sounds rather familiar, wouldn't you say? As it was in the days of Micah and his contemporary Isaiah, so it is even today. There is, as Luther says, a constant search for blood. As we scheme and connive to gain advantage over our enemies, our neighbors, even our own flesh and blood. Well, at least we can take comfort in the fact that we aren't quite as brutal as they were in the days of ancient Israel, sacrificing, for example, their children to idols. Oh, wait a minute, we do that, don't we? Today, maybe in greater numbers than they, with millions aborted every year around the world. Well, at least we don't take up the false religions of our neighbors. But we do that too, don't we? with many churches sacrificing their theological confession to stay relevant to the times, and some even within our own churches settling for a muddled confession of the faith. Certainly, at least here at the seminary, we haven't succumbed to the false gods of our age, have we? Doesn't look so good for us either. Students, after all, have their own cliques. So do professors. We all want to be in with the right crowd, and we'll do everything to avoid the rest of them. We can all find our colleagues to be rather boorish at times, and so find ourselves walking around campus, maybe even entering this chapel with a "thank God I'm not like so-and-so" attitude. How can we possibly answer God when he launches his indictment against us? "Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me." But every mouth is stopped, save for the mouth of the Lord's servant. And this is what he says. This is what the prophet Micah says. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and peoples shall flow to it, and in many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord.'" Here Micah lifts his hearers beyond their certainty of doom and destruction, and he lays before them a new reality. "The day is coming, says the Lord, when he will do a new thing for the house of Israel. Indeed, it's already in the works." When God interrogates his people, asking them what he's done to deserve their anger, their disrespect, their hatred of him, how could they treat him with such calamity? God responds by saying what he has actually done for them. He says, "I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord." Already in those saving deeds, which occurred at specific moments in human history, God was setting in motion the mighty acts that would climax at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That house of slavery in which we were walled up, it has been forever banished. There, your freedom was procured. As we enter a new church year, the latter days of God's grace will be set before us once again. We heard it already yesterday. The King is on his way. Indeed, he is ever coming to us with healing in his wings, ushering in his kingdom of peace, where sword and spear are given new purpose, no longer to wage war, but to serve the neighbor. If you could bottle up that kind of peace, you'd make millions. But it's not for sale. It's all for the Lord's giving. And it's one of those kind of, you know, now but not yet situations. Peace which God has indeed been made, yet we wait in eager anticipation for its final consummation. That God will bring all this to pass is sure and certain, for in Christ all of his promises have indeed been fulfilled. And so with Micah, with all of God's faithful, we joyfully sing our hosannas, greeting our coming King, and walking in the name of the Lord forever and ever. For in truth, his is the only name by which we must be saved. In the name of Jesus.